This will be the hopefully the last year outside of the Six Barrack. I know I said we were going to do the Six Barrack, and we're all doing a lot of things very much related to the Six Barrack throughout the Masechta. So we're going to do today, hopefully, the sugya of Te'ima, tasting food, and hopefully, if time allows, the Isser, the saying a bracha on Machal Sasuros, things that are up to eat, saying a bracha on those things. Hopefully, that'll wrap up all the outside things for now, and then we're going to start going next week, Monday, in order, which will bring us to the bracha on olive oil, bracha on wine, grape juice, brachas on medications, brachas on things that are perhaps mazik you, and then getting into the definition of what's a fruit, how do you define fruits, and what bracha to say, ha'eta adama. Okay, so tonight we're going to start, focus on brachas yudal adam and aleph in the second parak. And the Gemara here raises a question in regards to both tainus and saying a bracha. If someone tastes food on a tainus, need one say, or is one allowed, rather? And when someone tastes something in general, need one say a bracha? So the Gemara formulates as follows. Hashori b'tainus, someone who's fasting. Mahu shiyutam, what's the din? Is he allowed to taste on a fast day? Achil v'shasiya kabilalei v'holeka, did he accept upon himself the iser of eating and drinking on a tainus, but tasting he didn't accept upon himself, and that would be permitted? O dilma hana kabilale v'ha'ika, or perhaps he accepted upon himself any type of hana, which would include even tasting. There's a certain amount of hana. Very lumbdish shaila. It sounds like very much archakira. Is the chiv bracha, we say birchas nen, is the chiv achila, or is it chiv hana? It seems to be the question here in the Gemara. What's the din when it comes to tainus? What type of kabbalah was there? So Gemara says, Amar le, to'im ve'ein b'kachlum. Taste and there's no issue. So it's somewhat unclear what that answer is. Pashas, as it sounds like, he only accepted upon himself eating and drinking, and hana, tasting, would be permitted. And the Gemara brings the support for this, Tane Namihachi, that says, Mateme, someone's allowed to taste, Eina tu'na bracha, he does not require bracha when he tastes. Vashari b'tainus, someone who's fasting, to'im v'ein b'kachlum, he's allowed to taste and there's no problem with it at all. And the Gemara concludes with one line, ad kama, how much is he allowed to taste? Rav Ami, Rav Asi, taimi ad shira rivias, he could taste up until the rivias. So we walk away from this Gemara very simply, that one's allowed to taste on a tainus because he only accepted upon himself achila in shishia. Hana is permitted, and also one's allowed to make a bracha. Sorry, one need not make a bracha when tasting, seemingly because he only had hana, he didn't have an achila. Right, this seems to be a big kasha for those mandamrim who think if you have any hana, you can't get hana without a bracha. So if the Gemara is telling us that te'ima is hana, so you should have to say bracha. Why is the Gemara saying you don't have to say bracha? You with me on that question? Yeah. So we're going to get into that discussion also. We're gonna break it down just in general what the nature of team is. Then we're going to break it down to tainus versus bracha. But that's a very good question to show them deal with which types of fast days.
Is there like hana in general versus hana's achiva? Like a team, you're making some kind of hana, but it's not geared on towards an achila shtiya hana.
Exactly. We're going to get that. The Rishon, we're going to start breaking it that way also. Very good. We spoke, I mentioned it yesterday, that was the last time you mentioned it a little bit. So the Tzlach here writes, very interesting chiddush here. He asks the question, it's a very long Tzlach, the Nehod Behuda, it's chiddushim and shas called the Tzlach. He asks the question, this question seems to be misplaced in the Gemara. It should really be in Maseches Tainus, what to do in Brachos. The Iker Kasha here has to do with a Tainus, not with a Bracha. Why is it doing here? Oh, maybe because it's related to brachas. He didn't really like that answer. So the whole back and forth. Within that discussion, the Tzlach brings a Shirei Knesset Gedolah, Tshuvos the Shirei Knesset Gedolah, who writes as follows. That even if, on a tainus he's talking about, even if a person accepted hana upon himself, te'ima is not considered hana. It's not considered hana. So according to the Pashas reading the Gemara, like we said, no, Te'ima is Hana, but he only accepted upon Achila. Te'ima is not Achila, it's only a Hana. Tzlach quotes the Sefer, it says, no, it's not even Hana tasting. So the way we'll phrase it very simply, is Te'ima Hana or not Hana? So the truth is, I think this Tzlach is really machlokes rishonim. If you look in Tosfos and Yudalim and Aleph, Tosfos on the bottom, there are two of them. We're going to look at two relevant ones. We're going to look at the second one first. Dibur Maschil Toim. Here Rabbeinu Chanan says, he quotes Rabbeinu Chanan that says, Shechozer Ufpole. What does that mean?
Spit it out.
You spit it out. You don't swallow. You put it in your tongue, you taste it in your palate, and you spit it out. Dulo Choshiv Hana Min Hatima. It is not considered Hana from this tasting. So what did Rabbeinu Chanan tell us? Ti'ima is a hana. And that's why it's permitted on a tainis, because there's no hana. But if you swallow it, that would be hana. You couldn't do that on tainis. And if you swallow it, you'd have to say bracha. So Rabbeinu Chanan would say, yeah?
So it's, sorry, just
a no.
So it's not hana, and it's not a chila, he says?
According Tima?
Yeah.
Tima is not even Hana. Achila is, you know, definitely not Achila. And it's even not Hana, since he says the requirement is you have to spit it out.
Right.
So you spit it out, there's no Hana involved.
Okay.
But had you swallowed the little bit you took, that would constitute a Hana, and it would demand a bracha, and it would be a disqualification on tainus. You don't swallow, so you can't swallow. You mean just put it on your tongue? That wouldn't be swallowed. If you what?
I'm saying like it's something that can be put solid amount of dissolves
you
can get out.
Yeah, but so I something dissolves, I don't view as swallowing, I don't think. So Rabbeinu Chanan says you spit it out. So the implication from the Rabbeinu Chanan is if you were to swallow it, that would be a real hana. So Rabbeinu Chanan thinks, what's the requirement for bracha? Back to our quick case. He thinks you need a matir. Because it's hana, you have to matir the hana. And this goes well to Rabbeinu Chanan we quoted yesterday also in the rush, quoted Rabbeinu Chanan that you had liquid in your mouth and you swallowed it, you don't say bracha afterwards, because if the bracha only serves as a matir, there's no point in saying the bracha afterwards, already what's done been done. But if you look at Rashi says, Maoshi Yitum, what's the din in tasting when it comes to tainus and it comes to Hilchos Brachos? He writes, Maoshi Yitum Esa Tavshil, are you allowed to taste the cooked item, lidas im tzarch melach otavin, to check whether it needs more salt, spices, peppers, whether it's good or not, are you allowed to do that? There's no mention in Rashi of spitting it out. Now, at the same time, he doesn't mention swallowing, but if I asked you, was tasting mean, you would think you would taste it and just swallow whatever's in your mouth. You don't just put in your tongue and spit it out. And the truth is, many Rishonim say it explicitly that they would swallow. Tasting is swallowing in this case. Among them is the ra'ah, the Ra'a says this, the Magen Avraham says this, the Hagos Maimonides says this. I think Hagos thinks Rashi is the same opinion. Pashas of Rashi is you swallowed it. Well, he swallowed it, isn't that Hana? Yeah, it's Hana. What's the big deal? What's the qualification? What's the Mechayiv for Bracha for Rashi? When do you say Bracha for Rashi? Not Hana.
It's Achila.
Tasting is not Achila. Magen Avraham says the whole it's all based on kavana. When it comes to achila, in general, this is an important yisod to know. When something is about a maisa versus totsa, so the maisa in our case is the achila, that's Rashi. The other is the totsa, is the hana. So many focus on the hana that one receives, that's totsa. Rashi focuses on the maisa achila. Whenever you talk about maisa, kavana is a relevant factor. When you say mitzvah sichas kavana, kavana is always relevant when talking about how the action is being done. So for Rashi, since Rashi focuses on the maisa achila, then kavana becomes a very relevant factor. Since your kavana is not to eat it, you're not coming to satiate yourself of any sort, you're coming to taste it, that's not considered achila, and therefore doesn't require bracha and permitted on tainus.
Is there something, is the shear of what you're eating tied into?
We're going to get to the shear. Yeah, we will get to the shear.
Yeah. Look forward to that. That's it.
Okay, so that's the base of machlokas. What is tima? Is it swallowing or is it spitting out? So now, what's the din? Does this apply? Which type of tainus does this apply to? Every tainus, tainus tzibur, tainus yochid. So Tosfos again on the bottom here, and Yudalad writes in Dibur Maschil O, says Hai Lishna. The Gemara says Odilma Hana Kabil Alai. Kabil. What's Kabil? A Kabbalah. Sounds like a personal Kabbalah, a tainus yochid. So Tosfos Medayik. Hai lishna mashma demari b'tainis yochid. Shekibel alav. He accepted upon himself a personal tainis. Ava b'tainis hakasav lo. Tainis is written in the psukim. Tisha B'Av, Shabbat Tammuz, Esther B'Teves, those are not included. Those are Asur. Tastings only. The only Shaila is in regards to Tanya's Yachid. But for sure, Ti'ima is Asur when it comes to Tanya such Kasub B'Torah, Kasub B'Tanach. You look in the Me'iri though, the Me'iri writes, well, you should, the Beis Yosef, by the way, Beis Yosef, you raise, just be aware of the point. What about Tanya's Tzibor that the Tzibor took upon themselves? Now, on one hand, right, for rain, exactly. So the Mishnayos and Tanya's talk about it, they say it doesn't rain, you take upon yourself a Tanya's Tzibor. So on one hand, it's not Kasub B'Kra, right. The other hand, it's a Kabbalah. So Yesh Lachwa, how that exactly fits in, but that's just a side point the Beis Yosef deals with. However, the Me'iri writes, the Me'iri here in our Sugya says there should be no distinction between Tanya's Yachid and a Tanya's Tzibor. So what's the Machlokas here? So Tzlach comes and explains as follows. If you think Ti'ima is like Rabbeinu Hanano, that there's no Hana, you actually spit it out, so then what? Should you distinguish or should you not distinguish between Tanya's Yachid and Tanya's Tzibor? You should distinguish. If there's no Hana, you put it in your mouth and spit it out, there's no Hana, there's nothing to talk about. You didn't do anything. Who cares? Tanya's Yachid, Tanya's Tzibor, it's permitted across the board. If, however, you assume like Rashi and the Ra, all that you're swallowing something when you do Tima, so then, for sure, swallowing is not allowed on Tanya's Tzibor. There's only room to discuss when it comes to Tanya's Yachid. What type of Kabbalah did the guy take upon himself? Did he take a Chila Kabbalah or did he have a Hana Kabbalah? But for sure, Tanya's Kasav B'Kra, for sure he accepted upon himself even Hana, and even swallowing would be forbidden according to Rashi. You don't like that, Evan?
Why he needs to say this.
Okay.
Because like, it seems like everyone agrees with
Rabbeinu Chananel. No, Rashi doesn't agree. Ra'ah doesn't agree.
No, I'm saying Rashi would agree that in Rabbeinu Chananel's case that it's, they don't do bracha.
Ah.
No, they're not. Okay, fine. I'm swallowing this one.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So that's what Tzach explains. Now, just a somewhat of a difficulty here, though. If Corinne, this is all true, if you think Ti'ima is spitting out, so therefore it should be permitted all tainas, so there's a steer in Tosfos. Steer Tosfos told us, like Rabbeinu Chananel, you spit it out, and therefore there's no Hana. And therefore, you should conclude, there shouldn't be a distinction between Tainas Yachid and Tainas Tzibor. And Tosfos says there is a distinction between Tainas Yachid and Tainas Tzibor. So one of two answers. Any suggestions? One answer you're impossible to get, I'm sorry to say. I would never have thought this in my... And, but one answer is a little more balbatish.
What?
Okay. That not true. The balbatish answer is as follows. Tosfos himself doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Chananel. He thinks it's a case where you swallowed it. So for him, when you swallowed it, you should distinguish between the Tanya's Yachid and the Tanya's Tzibor. He quotes it from Rabbeinu Chananel, but he doesn't agree with that. It doesn't sound that way, otherwise he would have argued. Pnei Yeshua is a wild chiddush. It seems to be actually true, though he admits it goes against all the achronim. But he says as follows. When Tosfos says the whole discussion about Tanya's Yachid, about the Tanya's Hakosav Lo, what does Lo mean? We thought Lo mean it's Vade Aser. He said no. See what Vade Mutter to swallow. No discussion about Vade Mutter. And he brings a dig from the next Tosfos. You have to read it inside, but it's a really a beautiful dig he brings. Now, according to that, so then Tanya's Yachid and Tanya's Tzibor, it's all Mutter. So it flips everything on its head. It's a really beautiful dig. And it's a Bechish, and you wouldn't have thought of that. Harder to think of than Mars.
Yeah, that's
what? Bechish. Yeah, Tosfos says our whole discussion in the Gemara Brachos is about Tanya's Yachid. We're not discussing the Tanya's Tzibor. So the posture is, like all the Achronim think, Tanya's Tzibor, for sure, Ti'ima is Aser. Tanya's Tzibor is for sure more Machmir than Tanya's Yachid. Comes along, Pnei Yeshua says, no, when Tosfos says we're not talking about Tanya's Tzibor, that means Tanya's Tzibor is for sure Mutter. For sure you could taste. The question is, did he make a Kabbalah, Tanya's Yachid, a more Machmir Kabbalah than a Tanya's Tzibor? Wild pshat, not Lil Lacha. But it sounds very emistic in Tosfos himself, but who are we to argue once the Shulchan Aruch and everyone else think otherwise? That's the beauty of Torah, that we, you know, even though it's Lo B'Shamayim, even though we may be wrong to a certain extent, whatever they decide is what they decide. Now, Beis Yosef discusses, when we're discussing for a moment about Tanis Tzibur and Tanis Yachid, the Beis Yosef is distinguishing between a Yom Kippur and other Tanios. He says as follows. This is the Beis Yosef found in Or HaChaim, Simen Tov Kuf Zaman Samach Zayim. He says, when it comes to washing your mouth and spitting out, he's more machmir in regards to Yom Kippur. That the other Tanios, it's mutter to put water in your mouth and spit it out, because there's no hana. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to. Why are you not allowed to Yom Kippur? Because deraisa, it could just a siag of some sort. Could be. Maybe that's the idea he's trying to say. It might be a bit this idea. He says because chatz yishir asa min haTorah. All the other tiny tzibur that isi derabanan. Yom Kippur is an isi deraisa. So we have Gemara's and Yuma talk about chatz yishir asa min haTorah. So chatz yishir, even a ti'ima is a chatz yishir of a achila, and therefore it's asa min haTorah. So you're saying a siag. Some say a Chati shir is also because it's siyag, lest you have the actual shir. You did that in shir? Oh, I thought that, okay. Now, the Rush, going along the line, the Rush talks about, he says, not only Yom Kippur, but Tisha B'Av as well. The same would hold true. There's a very interesting discussion in relation, now Tisha B'Av is around the corner, the connection of Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur. There's a very strong correlation. This would go on the list. Normally, Tisha B'Av has certain things like a normal Tainus Tzibur, and there's certain things that's similar to Yom Kippur. So one famous thing I'll just mention to you, what's the opinion of the Rambam when it comes to Sefer Shabbos? Anybody know? He says, what? Yeah, Yom Kippur is the only place he says Tosefis exists. Tosefis Kedusha only exists by Yom Kippur. There's no Tosefis Shabbos, there's no Tosefis Yom Tov against all the other Rishonim. It's only by Yom Kippur. He says one other place. He doesn't write in the Yad Chazak, he writes in the Mishnayos, Perish Mishnayos. The end of Maseches Tainus, who I didn't apply it to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av also has an aspect of Tosefis Tainus, whatever that means. Because Tisha B'Av Emes really has two aspects. Tisha B'Av is an aspect of Midin Avelis. The Brisker Rav talks about this. Midin Avelis and Midin Tzom, like Yom Kippur. Those are two dinim that exist in Tisha B'Av. That might be why the Rush wants to connect the same din. Just like Yom Kippur, you can't put water in your mouth to spit it out. The same would hold true for Tainus for Tisha B'Av. Okay, so now the Gemara mentions, so now we set this out, whether a team is a hana, or it's not a hana, it's a swallowing or spitting it out. The Gemara tells us at the end that you can only have up until a revius, though. Why is there this sheer revius? What's the relevance of a sheer revius? So, if you're going to explain, like Rashi, that you're swallowing what you're tasting, so it makes sense, a revius. Why? Shabbeinu Manoach, on the commentary in the Rambam, in Hilchos Brachos, Aleph, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, writes as follows. So it makes sense if you're swallowing it, your kavana, when you're tasting something, your kavana is not to taste it, not to eat it, your kavana is to taste it. But he says, once you have a revius or more, your kavana is no longer to just taste it, your kavana automatically becomes to eat it. You can't change it. You can't tell yourself you're not eating. You're not being honest with yourself. So it comes to this Maisa Achila, it all depends on Kavana. So the Revius is going to dictate what your Kavana is. But according to Rabbeinu Hananel, what's Peshaw? Rabbeinu Hananel says you put something in your mouth and you spit it out. Who cares how much I'm spitting out? So it's beautiful. The Rashba quotes the beautiful Reb Haigon. It says, you're right. Fundamentally, there's no problem how much you taste. But the concern, if you put too much in your mouth at a time, imagine putting a revius of your water in your mouth and being able to just spit it out, there's a concern. You're going to make your mouth full and you're going to end up swallowing some of it. Simply a chashash ba'alma. But Mikar Din, you would allow to. Since the whole reason is, because once you're spitting it out, shirim don't make any difference. Now, according to this Rashba, very interesting halacha maisa comes out. Throughout a tainus, we have to figure out which tainus you're passing. You could put a lot in your mouth and spit it out. Put a lot in your mouth and spit it out. Keep doing it back and forth. The fact is, the Rashba goes even further. If you know for sure, you know yourself so well that if you put a lot in your mouth that you will not swallow an ounce of it, one ounce probably, but any amount of it, so you're allowed to. if you know for sure. So you can just put a lot of water or soda in your mouth and just like get whatever flavor and spit it out and do that all day long. That's what comes out from the Rajpa. The Rajpa himself actually says in the Chuvas, Simon Reish Samach Zayin. Hagos Maimonides, however, writes, this is in Hilchos Tainis, Hagos Maimonides writes in Os Lamed in Hilchos Tainis. He says, even, you can't even, against the Rajpa, you are not allowed to put a full reviews in your mouth at one time. The Rajpa allows, if you know for sure, the Rajpa allows you. If you know for sure you won't swallow it, you're allowed to. Hagos Maimonides says you for sure cannot put a whole reviews in your mouth. Why not? So the Miri says, for technical reasons. Because you can never be so sure. You can't trust yourself. The Rajma says you can trust yourself. The Mir says you can't trust yourself. However, the Sefer Rokeach, which is quoted in the Mogen Avraham, writes, why can you not do a revis? Because of Hanas Chichav, or Hanas Gronav. What does that mean? We're getting to what we discussed before, as Zach mentioned earlier. Two types of Hanas. There's Hana of the mouth, of the palate, of the throat, taste. And there's hana of the stomach, being full and satisfied. So what he's explaining as follows. According to, up until now, Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rajpa, the whole point was the swallowing, being full and satiated. So the Rajpa was concerned, you're going to swallow it and be full. But if it's in your mouth, there's no problem. If you know you won't swallow it, you can put as much as you want and spit it out. The Hagos Maimonides and the Sefer Rokeach quoted in the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham is found in Siman Tov Kuf Zamach Hazayin, Tziv Katan Dalad. It's about flavor, taste, hana of the mouth. You put a little bit in your mouth, like a piece of salt in your mouth, that's not really flavored, not really hana. You put a nice amount of soda in your mouth, even though you might ultimately spit it out, that's going to be a nice geschmack of flavor. That's going to be hana. That's awesome. So it comes out as follows. We have three basic explanations of, now, up until this shiur, we said there's either brachas are about hana or about achila. Now we've broken down the hana into two categories. Hanas gronav, which is the mouth, throat, hanas meyav, and nechila. Those are the three categories we're working with now. The hanas gronav, or chichav, hanas meyav, and then achila. Now the Rush in the back here has a interesting chilek. The Gemara was talking about ti'ima in regards to tainis and ti'ima in regards to brachos. And the Gemara at the end said you could have up until revius. Seemingly the shir revius applies both to Hilchas Brachos and to Hilchas Tainus. Less than a revius, you're allowed to eat without making a bracha, and you're allowed to eat on a Tainus. More than a revius would demand a bracha, more than a revius would be forbidden on Tainus. The Rush, however, makes the distinction between Tainus and Hilchas Brachos. It says, in regards to Tainus, the revius shir is in regards to Tainus. More than a revius is not allowed. But, he says, when it comes to bracha, mihu nira de bracha lo tsarach. You don't need a shear. You could have as much as you want, as long as you spit it out. He holds like the Rabbeinu Hananel, you spit it out. Why can you have as much as you want? Why is there no shear vius? Kevan she'enu nana b'soch me'av. There you have it. Since you're not having any hana in swallowing it, you're just putting it in your mouth and spitting out, you could have as much as you want. As much as you want you could have. There's no satisfaction there. However, when it comes to Hilchas Tainus, what does he assume by Hilchas Tainus? Why is there a limitation in Hilchas Tainus? Because when it comes to Tainus, there's a hana of gronav, or chicha, there's a hana of flavor. That's the hana in Tainus. So it comes out from the Rosh, there's a distinction. Hilchas Brachos is about hana's meyav, Hilchas Tainus is about hana's gronav. Now the Rambam also is mechalik. The Rambam also says there's a distinction between Hilchas Tainus and Hilchas Brachos, but in a different direction. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainus talks about but Pashas, I think it's Hilchas Tainus, Rama mentions. Yeah. The Rama mentions both Hilchas Tainus and Hilchas Brachos, the sheer reviews. He doesn't distinguish in that way to the Rush. You can only have up until reviews for both Tainus and Brachos. But where he does distinguish in when it comes to having to spit it out or swallow. Hilchas Tainus, the Rama writes that you have to spit it out. In Hilchas Brachos, he makes no mention of that. He doesn't say you're allowed to swallow it, but he doesn't say you have to spit it out. So some Achorim say, well, he's really somech when he wrote in Hilchas Tainus. Other Achorim say, no, it's actually a distinction. The Rambam allows you to swallow it for Hilchas Brachos, but does not allow you to swallow it for Hilchas Tainus. So what are we going to conclude? So we know in terms of Rambam, let's work with Rambam in terms of Hilchos Brachos. Rambam allows you to swallow it. Why does Rambam allow you to swallow it? We've been driving this home the whole week with the Shittas Rambam. What's the requirement for Bracha and Hilchos Brachos for Rambam? It's one of two. Either Hanah or Achila. What? Achila, exactly. Rambam says it's all about Achila. All about Achila. A number of rayas for that we spoke of. Yeah? So it's all about Achila. Therefore, you're allowed to swallow, just like Rashi. Rashi is also all about Achila. They both allow you to swallow it. Because that's not an Achila. That's a Ti'ima. Ti'ima is not an Achila. Only Achila Mechai Bebracha, not a Ti'ima. So that's great. Rambam's Lashitaso all over. When it comes to Hilchas Tainus, where he makes you spit it out, he must hold that Hilchas Tainus is about Hana, Hana's Mea. That's the Kabbalah you took upon yourself. Not an Achila. There's no Achila. The Gemara seems to for sure pass. The Gemara here for sure knocks out the possibility of Achila when it comes to Tainus. Okay, you're all with me on this? Now, in fact, the Kesem Mishnah in Hilchos Brachos explains the Rambam as follows, that why the Rambam allows you to do a Ti'ima, because it's all based in Achila. And he brings the Pasuk, V'chalti V'savati V'rachta. Hey, the Kesem Mishnah also, all over Hilchos Brachos, is driving home the idea of Achila. Okay, now there are, the Beis Yosef and their Avnei Nezer seems to, what we're saying right now is, the Rambam fits into the Achila camp, in regards to at least Achila, into the Achila camp. And the Rosh is in the Hanas Meyav camp, right? When it comes to Hilchas Brachas, at least, it's about the satisfaction. For some reason, the Beis Yosef thinks that the Rambam and the Rosh are saying the same thing. The Rosh who talks about Hanas Meyav, the Rambam says the same thing, but we just proved, we thought, that the Rambam thinks it's about the Achila. And the Avnezer thinks the Rambam learns another way. We're not going to go through that. Now the Beis Yosef, so right now in terms of Hilchos Brachos, we have a clear opinion of the Rosh, it's about Hanas Meyav, a clear opinion of the Rambam, it's about Achila, and the Beis Yosef quotes yet a third opinion that says when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, and this is the Beis Yosef in Or HaChaim Reish Yud Siv Beis, he says, quoting the Sefer Ohel Moed, that it's all about Hanas Chichav, he says. So there's explicit Rishon that says it's about, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, about taste. Okay, so now we're going to go through, with these three different approaches, we're going to go through a number of nafkamina and then get to some halachal bias, hopefully. So the Mogen Rebbe writes that according to Rashi's opinion, that the whole reason why you don't say bracha of tasting, because your kavanah is not for achila. What's your kavanah? To taste whether the food needs some adjusting. Does it need more spices and salt and stuff? According to that, the Mogen Rebbe writes, you would not be allowed to taste it after the cooking's been done. You take the chillin's all done, it's on Shabbos, you can't fix it anymore. So you can't taste it. If you're going to taste it, you have to say bracha, because clearly your kavanah is for achila. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, it has nothing to do with kavanah. If you put anything in your mouth and spit it out, you don't have to say bracha. The same would hold true if you've completed cooking the item and you taste it after the fact, you wouldn't have to say a bracha according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, yet according to Rashi, you would. Now, what about chewing something? Chewing something to spit it out. So that would also be an afkamina in terms of hanas chichav. There's going to be some flavoring, of course, but there's not going to be hanas meyav, and there's not going to be achila. That also serves to be an afkamina. The Magen Avraham talks about, interestingly, what about smoking? A case of smoking tobacco he discusses. So there's no hanas chichav there. There's no flavor in your mouth. But he writes, again, I'm not familiar, thank God I'm not familiar, but he says apparently there's hanas meyav. There's some sense of being full after smoking. So apparently, I think the Shari Tshuva has a whole list of halachas, and he speaks about his own experience of smoking. So I guess a lot of them probably
smoke. Once you're addicted, though. I'm saying, if you're not addicted, you won't get that feeling.
No?
Probably. That's addiction. That's what makes you crave.
I'm saying, but is it a feeling of being full, or just like
you
emotionally satisfied?
If you're not a smoker, you can take it.
Yeah. I feel like that's why they say that it's tough to quit smoking and be on a diet. I'm saying because of this connection.
Well, or it could be the two different addictions. Addicted to food and addicting. Two addictions is hard. Yeah. Try to get texting in there also, and internet. So there's a whole discussion when it comes to smoking. So some say No, maybe there's really no, there's no hanas meyav at all, because since you ultimately spit the smoke out, you don't keep it in your body, you spit it out. So it's choser, pull it. It's not going to be considered being satisfied. And there's an interesting prima gadim, which is really interesting. No, there's no hana here at all. You know why? Because it's refuah. It's pretty comical, right? Since smoking's refuah, no, you don't consider this thing hana at all.
Different time.
The Shari Tshuva has a whole long discussion. He speaks about some of his own experiences, what his minhag was to do on Yom Tov and smoking. Different times. Unfortunately, not really so different times. It should have been different times. Now, the Shalmei Nissen, Rav Nissen Kaplan, has a whole sefer on brachos and ketz mevarchim in the sixth parak. He discusses a number of other nafkah minhagim that may relate to hanas, meyav hanas, chichav hanas, gronav. So let's say someone doesn't have the ability to taste things. So that also served to be an nafkah minhag. There's no hana of the flavoring, so he wouldn't have to say bracha. But your pasuk is all about being full and satiated, you would have to say bracha. I won't go every single nafkamina, but there are other cases he discusses. This is an interesting halacha l'maisa point, actually, when it comes to saying a bracha. If you say a bracha on a food, you're not supposed to talk until you swallow some of that food. But let's say you put it in your mouth and you taste the food. So is that going to be considerable enough to be a hefsek, or, you know, in your yotz the bracha, you have to repeat it or not? So the Mishnah Berurah ended up asking, I think, that it's enough, b'dieved, it's okay to rely on the simple taste, that chachila one should really not talk until he swallowed. Many people are very, very not careful, unfortunately, on this. Also, they'll say hamotzi and put it in their mouth and start talking. You really have to swallow. It takes a little, you have to chew a little bit. It takes sometimes like a few seconds to do. But the avid, if you were to do it, so then you don't have to repeat the bracha, l'chachila one should really swallow something. I think it's chay, other quotes. Now let's get to some of the, now that we have the nice background of Te'ima, let's get to some of the halach l'maisa in regards to Hilchas Brachas first. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins and the halachas in Orach Chaim Reish Yud Siv Beis. And he brings down these two opinions. The two opinions of Rashi or Ben Chanal, do you have to spit it out or not? So first he quotes the opinion that says, a person who wants to taste a tafshil, he doesn't have to say a bracha. Even if he swallows it, like Rashi and the Rambam wanted to say, even if you swallow it, you don't have to say a bracha. Then he quotes the opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel. No, the others say, if you do swallow it, you for sure require bracha. Rather, if you want to taste something, make sure to spit it out. And the Ramah comes along and says, Safek brachas lahaka. Meaning, if you, b'dieved, had you taken some food to taste and you swallowed it, you don't say a bracha. Or it's not, you don't say bracha after it, but let's say for some reason you feel the need to swallow it, you do not say bracha to be choshish for the opinion of Rashi and the Rambam, you don't say bracha, unless you're having a revius or more, so then you would say bracha. Now, just and another side point, we've been talking about the sheer revius. The Mishnah Berurah points out there's a distinction between revius is only for liquids. You should know when it comes to solids, the sheer would be kezias. We've been talking revius all the time for some reason, but the same would hold true. The opposite, not the opposite, but a different shear would hold true for solids, for food. Now, the Magen Avraham comes along and he argues on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and so too the Mishnah Berurah, according to Chai Adam, argue on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and they paskin as follows. The best thing to do is, if you want to swallow some of the food, let's say your palate is not so sophisticated, and you really want to taste the chicken soup, but you really want to taste the chulun, and you only way to do it is to swallow. You're not going to really get a good taste in your tongue. You have to swallow it. You can get yourself in a machlokas rishonim here. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't decide what should you do. So the best thing to do, the Magen Avraham says, is the Ramah paskins l'hakel. Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah say what you should do is have kavana for achila. Say, I want to enjoy this food. I want to have an achila. Once you have kavana for achila, you get out of all problems and say a bracha. That's the best thing to do, right? It's the Mishnah Berurah. And the Shari Chin just points out is if you have kavana to taste and to eat, that's not going to be a problem. You don't have to have just exclusive kavana for eating. You might think if you have kavana for eating and tima, maybe the tima would dilute it and wouldn't demand a bracha. He says no, even though you have two different kavanas, as long as the kavana of achila is there, it still warrants its own bracha. the Mishnah Berurah paskens when it comes to chewing something that you spit out. Chewing gum is probably going to be different, but chewing something else, I don't know an example, but that's a chewing tobacco, but it's not a good example. But chewing something to ultimately spit it out, that you don't say bracha on. So to smoking, you don't say bracha on as well.
So the gum,
no, gum you do it for different reasons. You do say bracha because it's a derech. Some of the sugar, you chew the gum for the sugar that's inside, and that sugar you're really swallowing. It's different than it's a different discussion. Gum. We'll get to gum. We'll get to candy. Candy's a whole other world. Candy grows in trees. Yeah, we say shahakol. Candies don't grow in trees, but the sugar grows in trees, which you make candy with. So we'll get to that. Hopefully, gum and stuff. And he also paskins that if you taste something after it's been cooked, let's say, you know, you're not really testing it out, you just want to know if it's good, but not to flavor it anymore, that too, if you're doing any of the proper methods of tasting, you wouldn't have to say bracha. But again, the best approach would be if you want to taste something and you have to swallow it, make sure you have in mind for achila and say bracha. That's the best state. So
that's something we just said about tasting after it's been cooked. I assume you're spitting it out, right? I mean, you're doing the bracha. So
correct, right, exactly. No. I think spitting out. Less than a kazayas, less than a revius or kazayas. Maybe he probably says you're allowed to also. Exactly.
So they go by like a little pre sample, like a little tiny thing, like a little small scoop of ice cream.
But you're definitely not tasting it for making a flavor, right? Exactly. Give me a few more things. I want to taste a little bit of all of them. Yeah, you definitely have kavanah for achila, so you say shakal on that.
Especially
I have never been there. I heard. You go by the pet, they weigh, right?
Okay.
So now, in regards to Hilchos Tainus, we have 20 minutes. I think we still do some Hilchos Tainus right now. So Hilchos Tainus, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Orachayim Tav Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Alf, he writes, he passes like the Rambam and the Rush, that someone who's in Tainus, he's allowed to taste up into a revius, but as long as he has to spit it out. On a tiny, you'll have to taste something and spit it out. So the Magen Avraham writes, it's only true really if you want to taste it to see if it requires any more food or spice, any other flavoring. But then he says, well, maybe even for your own personal hanah, you would be allowed to also. Okay. Then, in regards to a tiny tzibur, that's a tiny yachid. What about a tiny tzibur? Shiv Asa Ratamas, Shiv Chanarach Paskins, that you're allowed to even taste something on a tiny tzibur with the exception of Yom Kippur and Tishbav. However, unfortunately for the Ashkenaz and their Ma, Asher's across the board. Any tiny tzibur, Shiva Sabar Tamas, Sabar Teves, Tzom Gdalia, all those, Asher to taste. The Mishnah Berurah has a very interesting and very important kula though. The Mishnah Berurah writes, B'makom Su'udas Mitzvah, where you're cooking for people, whether it's a large meal, it doesn't distinguish a big meal or not, if you need it for the nighttime, let's say, I'm not sure if he'll say this, I doubt Yom Kippur, probably all the other times except Yom Kippur, but let's say making a big meal after Tisha B'Av, so then you're allowed to taste it to make sure it's good for the meal, for the Sudas Mitzvah. If it's a Sudas Mitzvah you're making right after Tisha B'Av, or right after perhaps Tainus Esther also, the Sudas Mitzvah, are you making Sudas Mitzvah Purim? Right, maybe it's Indian to have somewhat of a Sud that night, maybe. If you sing songs there, you could make it into Sudas Mitzvah. So for that case, there's a certain hetem you are allowed to taste for Sudas Mitzvah. And Shulchan Aruch talks about putting a lot in your revius in your mouth at one time. It's not really so nogeya. What? Yeah. Doesn't a Sefer Teves falls down on Friday thing, right?
So
we're going to get to Shabbos. We're going to talk about 9 days in a second, actually, and meat. So we'll talk about that in a moment. So maybe it'll be applicable to the same thing. So the Shulchan Aruch then writes, are you allowed to wash your mouth out? Brush your teeth. Scope on tainus. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins there in Siv Gimel, a person's allowed to wash his mouth out on a tainus yachid this is, even with more water than your revius. On a tainus yachid. Not a tainus tzibur. So what's not a tainus tzibur? Not anything, or just not yosim revius, but less than revius would be permitted. So Magen Avraham says, you can't do more than revius in a tainus tzibur, but less than revius, a few ounces depending on the shita, one would be allowed to wash their mouth out on a very important kula for a fast day. Mishnah Berurah writes, B'makom tsar, that's how he passed, b'makom tsar, very uncomfortable walking around with a very bad breath, whatever, you how you wake up in the morning, b'makom tsar, on any tiny seabor, even Tish B'av, he writes, you're allowed to wash your mouth out with less than reviews, but make sure you like put your head down in the sink so you lest you anything go down your throat.
Even Tish
B'av, he writes, b'makom tsar.
Wow.
Yeah. But Yom Kippur, you should be machmir. So, well, yeah. So, well, let's well, hold on a second. The Mishnah Berurah adds. The Mishnah Berurah goes further. Something that's eino tov l'shisia, like skulp, kemo chometz, he quotes vinegar, that's mutter, even more than ravis, just like water. There's no difference, he says. So, skulp would be permitted. You're not going to swallow. You don't want to swallow any of that. Now you make sure you spit it out. That's completely permitted. And especially b'makom tsar, the Mishnah Berurah, b'makom tsar, for sure, we're all b'makom tsar these days. I assume everyone brushes their teeth twice a day, at least. I'm not looking around here. So, at least once you wake up. Apparently the Ma'aril, the Be'er Hitiv quotes the Ma'aril, he was known to wash all the time. He would just, forget that case. Magen Rambam has an interesting case. He talks about, is it allowed to swallow your own spit on Yom Kippur? It just comes up in this simon, whether you're allowed to or not. I assume we're Mekil, and he paskins Lakula in the end. I think I remember hearing once.
They used to have spittoons, right?
Yeah.
And shul.
Right. I'm not sure if it was just like saliva spit or just like, you know, phlegm. So I'm not sure exactly what it was for.
What about nails? Like if you bite your nails.
You eat your nails?
I'm saying
if you people is that done?
I'm just saying something that's not food.
Saying that food is not achila. You can do anything anymore. You do it. You can. You can stick a pen down your throat if you want to. Yeah, it's not food. Sure. Okay. So the mice, what comes down is that b'mice tishrab coming up. So if someone b'makom tsar, I assume most people are b'makom tsar, scope and brushing your teeth. And all that would be permitted. I do remember hearing once that Rav Willig is machmir. He's told us to be machmir on Tisha B'Av, but he himself is machmir on all the fast days. It depends how, you know, if you want to be shechoshes for the shitas, mishpurus is b'makom tsar. The question is, do we want to be so comfortable on a day like Tisha B'Av? That's the question we have to raise to ourselves. It's the day we're supposed to be b'tsar. So is it really worth, you know, so that's something you have to rate. Unless you feel bad for the person sitting next to you, and you don't want to be embarrassed, and then that's understandable, I think.
Oh,
try to get tissue and like wipe your mouth out or something like that. Or maybe a dry toothbrush, but okay.
You use a dry toothbrush and just like...
Flavored?
It's always like a little toothpaste on it.
If it's really welcome, sorry, it seems that you're allowed even tissue, bro. Okay, so now... I'm going to move into another discussion that's very nogea for tomorrow. Tonight already, we find ourselves Rosh Chodesh Av, which is, you know, Rosh Chodesh, but it's, of course, the beginning of the 9 days, which, of course, means that we cannot have wine or meat. I'm not going to say every year, but many, 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 many years. On Erev Shabbos of the 9 days, I find myself picking away at the chicken or the meat right there, and I realize, the 9 days, what am I doing? I got to stop. So, in fact, what's the idea? There's an idea in general, the race, Simon Reish Nun, the Magen Rambam talks about the idea to taste food Erev Shabbos. So, the Magen Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to taste food, and the Mishnah Berurah explains why is there a mitzvah to taste food Erev Shabbos? To make sure it tastes good. You don't want to have food that's bad. You taste it before, make sure it needs any more cooking, any more flavor. The Sha'ar Tzion quotes from another opinion that no, there's actually a mitzvah itself. Mitzvah finasma to taste on Erev Shabbos. Not for any other purpose to check it, but just to taste. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a source. I had a little discussion with Rabbi Cohen yesterday about this. I think he's right, though all the other Akronim seem to read like I initially read it. That the source, how do you know what's a little remez that is a mitzvah to taste on Erev Shabbos? Because we write the same Musaf, Tomeh Chaim Zochu. People who Tomeh taste it, Zochet Chaim. So that's the idea to taste. So it's talking about Erev Shabbos. That's what all the Akronim point out. So Rabbi Cohen pointed out, if you look there, Yakshas B'Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah is saying Erev Shabbos you're supposed to taste to make sure it's good. And then she says, "B'Shabbos v'adai mitzvah to taste." On Shabbos itself, you're supposed to taste everything that your wife or mother cooks, because Talmei Chaim Zochel, you're supposed to taste everything. So not so clear that that's a remez for Erev Shabbos. But you do. What? Yeah, one oneg. It has to be oneg Shabbos. If you're not going to enjoy it, don't. If you're going to make your mother happy, do. And your wife, Mirta Hashem. So again, there's a machlokas. Why is the idea to taste something Erev Shabbos? Either because to make sure the food's okay, or because it's etzim team is a ma'isa, mitzvah of some sort. So now one afkmina would be, I just thought of right now, would be with the husband. The husbands generally are not so versed in so comfortable in the kitchen and tasting. Their tasting really won't help out anything. So there's no idea for them to taste if it's the purpose of making sure it's good, unless they want to tell their wife the food doesn't taste good, not the best idea. If there's an idea to taste itself on Erev Shabbos for whatever reason, so then that would be permitted, would be allowed even by a husband. So what about Erev Shabbos Tishba, Erev Shabbos 9 days? Can you taste the meat? Can you taste the chicken too? Can you taste it? Is that allowed or not? Right, so I would agree, exactly. If you're spitting it out, for sure that'd be okay. If you're even swallowing it, like the Rashi, even swallowing a little bit wouldn't be considered achila. I assume like the eating is a problem, not necessarily the tasting. So I assume that would be the way to go. Yeah?
Doesn't matter how much you eat?
Doesn't matter
how much you swallow.
For which case?
As long as you're tasting it to make sure. See how much.
Oh no! Remember, the Gemara put a limit on revius. Only up until revius are you allowed to swallow.
So is it like everything together, or just each thing? Like if you're making a lot of things, it's a big.
Can you be sorry for all the different things you're tasting? Will that all come to a total of a revius?
You have to worry about that.
For Rashi, I don't think so, because Rashi's all about. Maybe I guess for in maybe if it's on the same time frame. When it comes to achila, we arm entire foods into a shir kazayas, so maybe it would not be allowed unless you break it up during the day, where there would be hefseks in between. Maybe that would be a good point.
Do we assume that isser achila is not meat until 9 days? Is it isser achila or is it isser hanah of eating basar? I mean, what's it branch out from?
So that's actually a very interesting question to look into. Now, the whole thing is really just a minug, an old minug, sourced in Rishonim even, and it's pretty much in the status of a neder. That's a very good question. So what did we take upon ourselves? So maybe you should compare it to our tainus, where tainus is also basically a nether. You took upon yourself not to fast. Perhaps the 9 days of not eating meat and wine also, you took upon yourself whatever was taken upon here was taken upon in the 9 days. That's a very interesting question. So maybe you would say whatever is permitted for tainus, which is a nether, should be permitted also for this. So then hilchas tainus, if we permit tainus yachad with Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that one's allowed to spit it out only. So seemingly here you'd only be allowed to spit it out. But then what the difference is that there's an aspect of a mitzvah taking place here. There's a mitzvah of tasting things here though. So there's room to say, this is what I saw in the art scroll of Rav Simcha Banim Kohn in the 3 weeks in the art scroll Sefer, he writes that if the etzim t'ima is a mitzvah, so there's room to taste the 9 days, maybe a little bit of meat. If it's only just a hechitimsi to test out the water, see the flavor, maybe that would not be allowed. I think that's how he said it. Okay, so that's what he says, I believe. Okay. So Lemaisa, the Piskei Tshuvos writes, says nowadays many people do not taste the foods beforehand. So if you don't normally taste the food, there's nothing to talk about. Of course you can't taste your food. If you normally do, so that I saw others that were makil, that even during the 9 days, one would be allowed to taste it. Not eat it, not to have a whole meal, but taste it, have a little bits and pieces here. For sure to taste it to make sure it's good. And even if you have a normal minuk to taste it for the etamit, so that also would be allowed within a certain reason. Okay, I was planning on doing the, maybe I guess we'll do this Monday, the discussion of, we have 7 minutes. Can I get in quickly? Maybe I'll do it really quick. We'll just do a very abridged version of this other topic, which also relates somewhat to the 9 days, I guess, to saying a bracha on machal tasura. Saying a bracha on something that's asur. So the Gemara, there's a mission in brachas daf mem hei, which says that you don't bench, you can't be mezamein on something that's asur to eat. And the Rambam writes that also true for Brach Rishona. Brach Rishona you do not say on something that's usher to eat. The Ravid argues, the Ravid says, the Rambam is found, by the way, in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Al-Falach Yutes. The Ravid says, what do you mean? Who cares if it's usher to eat? You still get hana from it. You can't make a bracha if you can't eat something without making a bracha. So therefore, if you're going to eat it, you have to say bracha on it. So machok is Rambam Ravid l'shitasim. Rambam thinks it's all about the echila, not about hana. I don't care if you're getting hana. You don't call achila on my chalas asuros, so therefore no bracha. Ravid thinks it's about hana, even though it's asur, you're still getting hana, and therefore it demands a bracha. Now, when coming to the Hachalamai, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rambam, that you do not say bracha before and afterward, even if the Isser is only an Isser Derabbanan, you do not say bracha on an Isser Derabbanan. Now, what types of Yisurim fall into this category? So the Shai Tshuva writes in Sifkat and Aleph, someone takes a neder upon themselves not to eat a certain thing, and he wants to eat it, he cannot say a bracha. Seemingly, the same would hold true when it comes to the 9 days. If you eat meat outside the context of a Suda's mitzvah, you eat meat or wine during the 9 days, you do not say bracha because it's also, to a certain extent, a neder, like many posts can say. If Yeager talks about a case of making bread, there's an ish, the Gemara Yoredeus, the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeus Paskins, you don't make bread out of meat, any meat, a fleshika bread or a milchika bread, lest you might eat it with a milk or basar b'chalav. You don't make that. So Kivega writes, so this type of iser, it's really iser kal. If you were to eat a milchik bread or a fleshika bread, you should say bracha for it. The Prima Gadim writes elsewhere that you do not say bracha on some. It's such a real strong iser to have such a type of bread. The Aruch HaShulchan adds in the Kivega, he writes, not only is this fleshik or milchik bread, only that is an iser kal, also, if you're makbid on Chalav Akum, you only want Chalav Yisrael, if you were to drink Chalav Akum, you would require bracha. That's not really considered an Isser. So too, this is a chiddush, he says, Bishal Akum. If you eat Bishal Akum, which is an Isser, of course, you would say a bracha on that type of Isser. The Behetiv has a discussion, what about Stam Yenam, wine that, you know, was touched by a non-Jew. The Piskei Tshuvos brings down from Maram Shik, what about things that are sakana, dangerous for you to eat. Therefore, they're usher for you to eat because of the danger. That too you should not say bracha on. And he brings down from his Stechemet, very interestingly, what about machal sasuras that are usher because of the ruach ra, like mayim megulim, waters that are left overnight, uncovered, things like that. He writes in the Stechemet, nowadays it's not a sakanas pikuach nefesh anymore. Maybe it's a sakana, but not pikuach nefesh. So that one should say bracha if you have water that was left overnight. The Piskei Tshuvos points out these are only comes to things that are be'etzim, fundamentally, intrinsically usher. Things that are time bound, such as, or other types of factors, side factors, like eating outside of sukkah food, of course you say bracha, although it's an isser. When it comes to eating before Kiddush or eating before Abdallah, although it's usher, you would say bracha. Those are not intrinsically usher, those are more external.
9 days.
More, I think, more intrinsic. It's minhag. Once it's been a minhag, it's like Yom Kippur. Yeah, it's many poskim say it's more of a nether, exactly. The let's say someone is knowing a heter and you're machmir, let's say pas akum, let's say I'm machmir and pas Israel, I only pas Israel, and you're saying bracha and pas akum, I could still acknowledge your bracha and say amen, it's not, you know, us or for me. And when it comes to b'makum sakana, and you have to eat tray for whatever reason, let's say it's Yom Kippur, you're not feeling well, let's say certain tray foods is healthy for you, so you got a certain heter, pikuach nefesh, that we pass, machokes, we pass, can you do say a bracha on having something that is aser, if it's b'makum sakana. Fascinating, Ritva writes in Brachas Memhei, say Yom Kippur. You're eating Yom Kippur, do you say a bracha Yom Kippur? Because you don't say bracha Yom Kippur. Why not? It's not hana, it's tsar. You know how uncomfortable you probably feel if you're eating Yom Kippur? Yes, you may hana, you're feeling better, but it's so painful for anybody to eat Yom Kippur. Therefore, it's really tzar, you do not say bracha. However, the Magen Ram Paskins, otherwise, you do say bracha if you were to eat on Yom Kippur. Okay.